Hello, Internet!
Hello, Internet!
Filling in for Jay tonight, we have Dennis.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome, Dennis.
Hi, Brita.
I thought you were a great choice for the guest co-host this week.
Well, thank you.
Because you're excellent all the time you call in, you know, and chat with us. So, and you experience in the whole New York thing.
Yeah, Dennis was the first person I thought about when the New York Claw went through. Because I'm like, I'm pretty sure I was shooting Dennis's XD, and I'm pretty sure it went up to 10 and then stopped.
Yes, it went up to 10 and then stopped. And all those poor guys up there, you know. It's so stupid.
Hold on before we get into that.
Okay. Do we have a topic?
Yes, we do have a topic. Actually, we've got a couple of topics. We'll be talking about the New York, whatever the hell you want to call that, ban or screw up or whatever it is. We'll also be talking about the wet smacking sound that came out of D.C. with the Obama executive orders that were, we'll get into it in a little bit. I'll save my editorializing for then. And Jay is either at SHOT Show or on his way back from SHOT Show, so he can't be with us. And as we said already, Dennis is here to fill in. If those of you may not know, Dennis owns and operates Dragon Leatherworks, which is a great holster manufacturer, and a recent refugee from New York City, so I'm sure he's got a lot of interesting things to say about
not quite New York City.
New York State.
I've been to Dennis's neck of the woods, and it doesn't look anything like New York City.
Sorry,
it actually looks remarkably like America.
My mistake, New York State, not New York City.
That's okay.
Like most of the rest of the world, I forget the rest of the state exists when because New York City pretty much wags that dog.
Well, you know what? Even New York City forgets the rest of the state exists. So.
All right. Well, here's crap.
Is the music not working?
It's always something.
I just got to put it on the right. I just have to put it on the right channel to so you can hear it. Now we'll play it. How about that? All right, it's Thursday, January 17th, 2013. It's time for the Squirrel Report. And, yeehaw.
Love that music.
I know, it's excellent. Makes it sound so important.
You know what? I actually found that. There's a great little audio, video, picture thing. That's a site where you can download stuff. It's like, like clip art and stuff like that, So you pay, $5 or $6 for a picture or whatever, and they got a whole file of like news sounds. And it's like, you just pay a few bucks and you basically get the rights to use this thing that somebody recorded. So
cool.
Yes. We strive for legality here at the Squirrel Report. We don't want to infringe on anyone's copyrights or,
we just don't want to get sued because we're too busy buying ammo and magazines.
Yeah. Boy, isn't that the truth? So anyway, yeehaw, what a week.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't know if it's what a week, but oh my God, a lot of people got bent over and screwed royally.
Well, I guess let's talk about the New York thing first because that happened first.
Did it? Oh, yeah, it did. Well,
it sure did.
It sure did. It happened the day before, or what, 2 days before. Well, the New York thing, the funny thing about them doing the whole, I'm going to start with the assault weapon thing, because a lot of my friends up there, even though I wasn't really into the black rifle thing when I lived there, a lot of my friends were. And part of the way the New York wall was written there at AWB was if the furniture you put on was removable, then you could only have two pieces, like a grip and a flash suppressor, or a stock and a folding stock and a grip and so on and so forth. the creative thing that everybody was doing up there prior, you know, during New York's AWB when it was still federal and then afterwards when they kept it, was finding a way to make the pieces permanent. So they would put a pistol grip on and then pin it in place, grind the pins down, you know, cover them up. So now it's permanent and the pistol grip doesn't come off anymore.
Oh, terrific.
Okay. So they could get away with three or four pieces. Like they would put the flash suppressor and pin that in and then just grind the pins down. And there you go. Now it doesn't come off. So that's one permanent part of the rifle. Now it's no longer removable.
Jesus fuck. I'm envious of a New York law. I could have had my FAL paratrooper that I always wanted.
You know, and guys were doing that, and it really was skirting the law because the law was very vague, but it did say that, you know, if these removable parts are on there, you can only have two of them. Now, I don't know if the new thing that they passed went ahead and overrode that or if they put any language in. I really didn't take a look at it, but I really do think it's great that the police officers are now screwed.
Yeah.
Because they didn't make provisions for cops having 15 rounders. And, you know, it's funny because when I take a look at the 7-round thing, it looks like they specifically went after the civilians are going to have half the amount of rounds that a police officer will have. Police officers carry 15.
Well, maybe not.
Not anymore.
It turns out that when they wrote the law, they forgot to put in an exception for cops.
Well, yeah, and that's why I said it was funny. They're scrambling now to fix it.
Yeah, well.
Well, what's interesting with them, I really like this because it's one of those statements of people talk about, oh, these are weapons of war only meant to kill mass amounts of people. Well, what are cops doing with them?
Yeah.
Killing mass amounts of people.
Well, yep. No, because they can't hit that many people.
Well, they need more chances.
They're just severely wounding them in the crossfire.
A.K.A. Or a la, what was it, the Empire State Building shooting?
Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody said on the Facebook that was repeated everywhere that, you know, now if the cops can only carry 7 rounds, the New York City innocent bystanders are breathing a huge sigh of relief because they won't be spraying, you know, 30 or 40 rounds into the crowd anymore.
That's great.
What really drives me nuts about that is it's one of those things of the, you know, that's, you know, here I am, I'm, you know, I, you know, as a resident of Massachusetts, it's just, you know, it's one of those things of the, I see all this bullshit going through and I just go, oh, that fucking sucks because, you know, unlike progressives, I actually, you know, care about laws that don't affect me at all, you know, versus them that just the, well, if it doesn't affect me, then it's no big deal.
Right.
But at the same time, it's always been one of those, you know, whatever. Now it's just bringing everybody else down a peg closer to me in Massachusetts. But it's like one of those, my daily carry kit is, you know, a 1911 with an 8-round mag stuck in it. And then, you know, two extra 8-round mags on reserve. And, you know, that's outside of the realm of good and friendly. It needs to be my light carry where it's a 5-round mag in my car with the 7-rounders on reserve. That's suddenly now kosher.
Well, your governor is about to want to outdo New York.
Yeah. I was just going to say, so, yeah.
Get
yeah,
ready.
We'll see about that. Well, he's been trying real hard. Half of his stuff is total bullshit anyway. He wants to have background checks at gun sales. And it's one of those, all of our sales have
already,
to go.
Yeah, you already do that.
Yeah, it's one of those statements of like, it sounds a lot like the Obama executive orders. I don't really know what the laws are or anything like that. But so I'm going to say a few things and make it sound like I'm tough on guns, even though I didn't do jack shit.
Well, the other thing is that apparently there's a couple of different sources that are saying that the guy in in the school didn't even use his AR.
Yeah, who knows?
He just used pistols. So
we still don't even know what happened in Colorado.
No,
let alone Oregon, let alone Newtown.
Yeah, funny how they can't manage to figure out what happened, yet it's imperative that we pass this right away.
Oh, absolutely.
Hell, I just figured out at that assaultweapons.info website, that was the first time I actually was really strongly considering doing a Freedom of Information Act search on it. I wanted to get the actual loadout carried at Virginia Tech because I knew for a fact that he had bought his Glock legally, and the Walther P-22 he had is irrelevant because they only make 10-round magazines for that thing. But he had bought the Glock at a store, and that comes with two 15-rounders. But everything else he bought was on eBay, and at the time, eBay would only sell band-compliant magazines to make sure that they weren't running afoul with any state laws. And so of all his magazines, he had were all 10-rounders. And actually, that assaultweapons.info website gave his loadout of 19 magazines on him. Some of those were for the Walther, but there were 19 total magazines. So therefore, 17 of those magazines were 10 rounders, and two of them were 15 rounders.
Now you know what I'm waiting for. I still keep a mail because we still have the house that we didn't sell up in New York yet. We're still having a hard time selling it. So I keep a P.O. box up there, and I keep a little bank account up there to pay little odd and end bills. And I'm waiting for New York State to go ahead because now part of the thing is licensing requirements. The licenses are now no longer lifetime or good until revoked is the way they did it. Now it's going to be mandatory renewal every 5 years. Well, I got my license roughly 5 years ago, 6 years ago. So I'm waiting for them to go ahead and send me a letter saying
they won't.
Hey, you know, you never know, but you know, I'm waiting for them to send a letter and say, hey, you've got to renew this. And that's when I send them a second letter because I already sent them one saying, take me off your list. Remove my handguns. I'm no longer a resident of your state. I'm now a Tennessee resident. And you've got information on the firearms that I own as a Tennessee resident in New York.
I bet they don't send anything to anyone.
You don't think?
Nope.
Yeah, Massachusetts did a very similar thing. It used to be, I believe it was just our, it's too bad Jay isn't here because he'd know, but it was our, I believe it was just our FID, which is our, you know, rifle and shotgun licenses. But when those were first issued, they were good for life. And then later on, you know, probably 10 or 15 years later, the state changed it around to they're good for 5 or 6 years and need to be renewed. And there's a ton of people out in Massachusetts who are people, I would assume most of them are people that have, you know, only one or two guns, and you know, there's no point. They're not buying any new guns and things like that. So why would they need to renew their license? And they've got a license on them that says good for life. And there's never been a prosecution of it because they'd really have a hard time defending that in full faith and credit.
Oh, absolutely. I
mean, if it says good for life, it's, you know, if it doesn't have an expiration date on it, then it doesn't fucking expire.
Yeah, but you know what? My Social Security card says, you know, not to be used for identification on it, too. So, you know, it's the government. They can do whatever the fuck they want and screw you.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, who's been raised on charges for, you know, for all of that. I mean, that's the thing I'm pointing out is, yeah, the laws are saying what they can, and they can do whatever they damn well want. But again, it's not a question of that. It's a question of are they going to prosecute somebody for it?
No,
they're not.
Well, in New York, yeah, they will. You know, they will because they'll if they do any kind of notification at all, it'll be something that most people will ignore or throw away or not see, with the intent
exactly.
With the intent of one letting your license expire, which means, oh, you have to start all over again, and they'll be able to deny it. And two, maybe catching you, you know, with your guns out, you know, in an expired license where they can arrest you and charge you with a felony.
They, if they find an expired license, okay,
well, you're expired not even, you're in not, quote unquotes, because again, there's no expiration date on your license.
Right. Exactly. But if they do this thing and then they say, you know, good until revoked, and they revoke them all, and then, you know, somehow they go ahead and they figure out that it's been revoked, you're not even allowed to have those handguns in your home.
Right.
New York is really bad that way.
Yeah, they'll do that thing where, you know, they won't overtly go out and round people up, but they'll, you know, if they happen to come, you know, for whatever reason, if they come to your house or you call the fire department or you call the ambulance or you call whatever, and, you know, the cops always show up and they'll go, hey, can we look around? And you know.
And most people go, oh, sure, you can look around, because they're stupid and they don't know how to say, no, I'm not inviting you in to look around because I'm not an idiot.
Right.
Most people in New York go, oh, yeah, I have nothing to hide. You know, that's the wrong thing to do.
Oh, look, there's a shotgun on that wall. You're under arrest.
That's it.
Yep.
It's as simple as that.
Hey, our call-in number is 214-530-0036. Let me try that again. 214-530-0036. And we actually have a call. And this is MDev. Hello.
Hello, MDev.
Hello, Squirrel Report. Hello, Dennis. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
All righty. I'm excited to talk to you because I was wondering if you were seeing as much of a boom on the holster side as I'm sure you cleaned out on the
You're kind of low in volume there. Can you?
Yeah, I didn't hear the question.
Use your outdoor voice.
Yeah.
My outdoor voice, is that what you need, is my outdoor voice?
Perfect. You sound great.
Good. That's exactly what I want. I need to be at least J-quality audio.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Anything but J-quality. So what was your question?
Oh, I was just hoping, I was asking Dennis if the holster side of things was as busy as the FFL side of things.
The holster side of things has been as busy. The FFL side of things has ramped up, and it's actually because I'm just a one-man operation still. The FFL side of things has chewed up some time, so I'm behind just a little bit on a few orders on the holster side of things. You know, it's not a big deal, but, you know, I'm spreading myself rather thin, and I'm paying the dues now to ramp up the FFL side of things to you know, have it grow. But the holster side has been doing very well. Thank you. Yes, it has.
Good. Good. I am of the belief, and I know this is a little bit pie in the sky, and I know this is a little bit optimistic, but I'm with Alan that I don't see a whole lot of new legislation sticking. You know, I'm afraid we're going to lose something. I'm just not sure what it is. But I would love nothing more than for after all these bills to get shot down, Obama to go on and say, but look at all the tax revenue we raised from all these ARs that we stole. ARs are not cheap, and they're pretty much all American made.
And that's true. And I mentioned to somebody on Facebook somewhere, you know, this must be his economic plan, saying, look, all I have to do is say, this isn't going to be sold anymore, and people go out and buy it, and now companies are ramping up and they're making more of the product.
Absolutely.
Isn't that great?
Maybe he should do that for, like, TVs and dishwashers and stuff.
Bentleys.
Exactly. Well, and not only that, but, you know, my only hope is that Congress sits on this long enough that people start getting their tax returns, you know, while this conversation is still going on.
Well, yeah, let me tell you something, though. It is hard to find just about anything. I mean,
it's impossible. I I walked into Walmart, and every time I go to Walmart, I just run by their ammo counter and see if they got anything. And
you and everyone else.
Exactly. They happen to have 5 boxes of CCI Mini Mag, 22 on the shelf. And I said, okay, well, now you have 0. And, I just bought them out. And the guy said, you know what? That's good because the guy behind you would have done it if you didn't. So I'm at the point now where I'm thinking about buying a rifle in, 303 British or something because it seems to be the only ammo I can sell.
I wonder if the last ammo craze at 45 Gap is the one pistol cartridge you can get.
you know what I'm really surprised at though is every sporting goods store around me now has 7.62x54R in stock on the shelves, and with how many Mosins are out there, it's surprising me that they still have it.
I just got a spam can the other day. It took me a month to get it. I ordered it on the 20th, and I just got it the other day.
Yeah.
Things are very tight. I mean, we were talking right before the show started. I'm having trouble from the FFL side through my distributors. I'm having trouble finding EAA. They're sold out of those. Even Charter. They only have very few Charter handguns. I mean, everything is being bought up. And you know that the market's tight, I told everybody, when you can't even get high points.
Exactly. Well, that's because everybody is buying them for the gun buybacks.
Yeah, you know what? You invest in a high point, you probably get more when you sell it back.
Hey, the one here in Seattle is offering $200 for a handgun. I can get a high point for $139.
Oh my goodness! You can make a profit there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm
just looking at ammo2go.com. The only 9mm that they have that's not high end hollow points is the CCI shot shells. But they have got an ass load of 45 Gap on stock. So if you're one of those people dumb enough to buy a 45 Gap, then you're all set.
Hell yeah. Yeah, even
357
SIG might be findable.
That was a dig at Mike W.
There's no full metal jacket 357 SIG available at ammo2go.com.
Oh, well, all right. Well, fair enough. Well, I just wanted to, I will not tie up your line too long. I wanted to call in. I wanted to say hi to Dennis, and I wanted to share my
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
This is all just an economic stimulus. And, that's what I'm hoping. And I will say that, because, I've been writing my Congress critters just about every other day now. And, I just keep writing them. I go, regardless of how you feel, just remember that this is the vote that counts. And, the NRA has no shortage of money and new members to, run just about anybody against you.
That's right.
That seems to be the only thing they'll listen.
Quarter of a million new members, according to the...
Abso-friggin-lutely. Oh, real quick on that topic, I gotta say, I got into a pretty interesting discussion with somebody in work, and they said, well, I'm not enough of a supporter to buy an NRA membership, but I like them on Facebook, so that's enough for me.
Good Lord.
That's how they're standing up for their Second Amendment rights. They like the NRA on Facebook.
That sounds like me, actually. I'm not an NRA member either.
The National Rifle Association is over 2 million likes now on Facebook. So, for whatever
that's worth. Well, I'll see my coworkers obviously doing God's work.
That's right. Hey, thanks for calling, MDev.
All right, have a good one. Talk to you guys next week.
All right.
Rock on.
See you, MDev.
Oh, by the way, there's also a good supply of 32 Smith & Wesson Long available.
Ooh.
Oh, Alan, I was mistaken. My one distributor, the biggest one that I go to, they're a little outfit, and I'll give them a plug, Sport South. They're a big outfit down in Louisiana. They feed a lot of FFLs. They're a huge distributor. I just did a search of show me all the handguns you have in stock. They have a Charter Arms in stock. They only have one Charter Arms, and they only have one of them, and it's the 22 Pathfinder target pistol.
Oh.
That's okay.
That's the one with, like, the 3-inch barrel, right?
No. 5-inch. 5-inch barrel.
God.
That's it. That's the only charter arms. And out of the search, there's only 61 handguns, different models, in stock. And that's only one page. Normally, it's like 6-7 pages you got to scroll through. They have almost nothing on the shelf.
What do you have in stock, Dennis?
Oh, goodness. This is not a plug, but I'll tell you. I have no, I don't want it to turn into that. This is a call-in show. But I have three TCPs. I have three Taurus TCPs. I have a Desert Eagle Micro. That really tiny thing looks like an overgrown sea camp. A couple of Tauruses, a 709 and a 740, and a Ruger Blackhawk.
Ooh.
In 45 long Colt, 5.5-inch barrel.
I got one of those.
That's a nice gun. I wish I could shoot it, but I got to keep it in the box so I can sell it as new.
Oh, the torture.
You know, and that's part of it is, you know, you get all these guns and you turn around, you sell them, and you're like, boy, I'd like to take this to the range and try it. And you can't because as soon as you shoot it, now it's used. Now you just, you know, $60 you got to chop right off the price. It's like, nah, I can't do that. And it is torture.
Damn it, Skype. Well, we lost Brian.
So yeah, so just so you know, people, Dragon Leatherworks is the only person that has pistols in stock.
Yep. Maybe. We got a couple of calls. Calling number 214-530-0036, and this is, well, there's two, and I'm going to take the one that doesn't say anonymous. So this one's area code 206 in Seattle.
Yes, Baron Barnett, otherwise known as the Minuteman.
Hey, Baron.
I know that guy.
Yeah, you all know that guy.
Yep.
I figured that since I was actually around to actually listen to Swirl Report Live, I figured I'd call in.
Nice.
Because I do have a bunch of stuff pertaining to the topic. I got really lucky. I now live quite literally a block from an FFL in the middle of nowhere. It is walking distance from my house. Worst thing in the world. Upshot is I now get guns at cost because when I go in there, I end up selling guns to the owner.
Oh.
Cool.
Yeah, I went in just to stop and chat with one of them, and there was a guy, they had a 9mm carbine on the wall, and there was a guy staring at it. I'm like, do it. If you don't, you'll regret it.
I'd do it. Nice.
Well, he had just bought the last AR-15, and so he was already out probably about $2,000 total between the mags and everything else, and I was like, do it. You know you want to. Fuck, you're right. Yeah, okay.
Which carbine was
it? Interesting thing. I do not remember meeting the offhand. I do remember it being Glock mags and a 4M Vector. Crap, now I'm going to have to go find it. But the interesting thing was on the pistol front. If you want a Springfield XD and you are a Washington State resident, drive to Colton. We can help you out. He has a huge stack of XDMs.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Yeah. That's a hot commodity.
Yes.
XDMs
are a very hot commodity.
Yep.
And he keeps getting more of them. I don't know how he's accomplishing this, but the one interesting fact was I bought my new XDM for competition just after Thanksgiving, and they give you a little test casing, and it tells you when it was test fired and all of that, and the date was October of 2011.
Oh, so it's been around there for a while.
Yeah, it's been around there for a while. And, you know, I remember there was, like, shortages. And so I was like, okay, that's kind of odd. And then shortly after Newtown happened and all of that shit happened, and I started seeing cases come through, and I felt them walk stuff in, and I opened up one of the cases. And I started just looking at the test casing, and last I saw was November of 2012.
Huh.
So they were shoving through all of that stock that quickly.
Wow.
Which is holy freaking... all I could sit there and say at that point was, okay, that's a lot of guns very, very quickly.
Well, it's a lot of guns very quickly. And you have to remember, these companies are... they're not expanding... they're not putting in more capacity. They're just putting in more shifts and running 2 capacity. They're doing 24/7.
Right.
Yep.
You know, they don't want to invest in the infrastructure. You know, and they're just taking advantage of, you know, it's cheaper to just go ahead and just run the machines full tilt 24/7, and when they break down, fix them and keep going. But and that's about it. Nobody wants to invest in the, you know, the assets and the infrastructure. I'd like to see them do it because I really don't think that much is going to happen in Congress with the AWB because Harry Reid has already signaled, I'm not really interested. Boehner has done the same thing. Oh. It's like, when Senate sends us something, we'll put it in a committee. We'll talk about it, you know.
What's his name? The doofus, the comedian senator from...
Yes, he's even uncommitted.
Yeah, what's his name?
Franken.
Franken. Franken is saying, I don't know about this.
You know, they all know that it's a political third rail, and even though... we only had an election a month and a half ago. The inauguration hasn't even happened yet. It's another week away. They touch that third rail now. You might as well kiss 2014 goodbye.
Yep. And that's actually one of the things I noticed with the executive orders that came out, because Mike Sebastian, I was afraid. There were a few things he could have done that would have basically been sticking his tongue to the third rail, and he walked right past it and basically didn't really do anything.
He didn't even ban imports.
Yes,
exactly.
which
he could have easily done.
He could have done that, and that right there would have been the signal that he's serious. And it just goes back to something that I think it was Sebastian wrote a couple of weeks ago when Obama said we're going to have a task force that is code for we're going to make it look like we're doing something and
right.
do nothing.
Exactly. And then he put Biden in charge.
And then he put Biden in charge.
Yeah.
Bobblehead Joe Biden.
And every one of his 23 executive orders were a combination of, you know, do the job you're supposed to be doing or do something that you're specifically prohibited by law from doing.
Correct.
Well, and actually, there was one in there that made me laugh even harder, and that was we're going to more money than school resource officers for high school.
Oh, yeah.
At which point, my brain promptly heard the speech from Happy Gilmore to the golf pro. I was wrong. You were right. You're the best. I'm the worst. Yeah. Please speak up. I couldn't hear you.
Yeah. The well, you know, the two things, and the call-in number 214-530-0036. Two things that, one of them was he talked about the CDC doing, more research on gun violence, which if I'm not mistaken, they're expressly by law prohibited.
Yes, they
are doing that. And by law, like congressional, you know, passed and signed by the president law. The other one was, the whole, saying that doctors could ask people about their gun ownership and stuff, which is also expressly prohibited by law.
It's expressly prohibited in Obamacare.
Yeah,
thank
exactly.
you very much.
Yep. So it's, you know, yeah. Maybe he'll give them a waiver.
Yeah, right.
And the rest of it was pretty much, you know, basically it was like do your jobs, which is well, you know, it kind of makes me think, you know what, this is going to happen. What's going to happen is a whole lot of nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, because these, you know, there's a reason they don't prosecute. I mean, we stand up and we go, you know, enforce the laws. The problem is they can't. You know, you got prosecutors that basically use gun charges as plea bargaining chips.
Exactly.
Because we simply as a society cannot afford to put everybody with an illegal gun on trial. I mean, If they took, I don't know, I forget how many thousands of people get rejected on NICS checks, but if they actually tried to prosecute all those people, the justice system would collapse. It just can't handle it.
And of course, also, I mean, everybody knows at least somebody who's been rejected on a NICS check and then contested it was fine.
Right.
Sure.
One of which being,
you got one on the phone right now,
Michelle Miguel.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I'm talking about the ones that are, you know, felons trying to buy, you know, the people that don't, that clearly wouldn't be. And every time I hear somebody going, you know, enforce the laws, you know, they can't. And that's one of the problems in this country is we have so many damn laws, we can't enforce them all. And you know what happens then? You know, when you have more laws than you can enforce, then you basically lose respect for the institution of law. And you get this whole thing where the prosecutors and cops get to pick and choose who they apply the law against.
Oh, exactly.
And then you wind up with, what's his name, waving a magazine around and then getting away with it.
Well, that's true. And you mentioned, you know, all the things were really non-starters in the 23 executive orders. The one that I was watching closely, there was one in there that getting the ATF to get around to having private transfers go through an FFL, okay?
Right.
And you can't do that because the federal law, I think it's Statute 18, whatever you work under, that right there is specific in there. You can't do that, okay? Private sales is private sales. But right after that came out, I could have set my watch by it. 5 minutes later, in my email box is a letter from the Tennessee ISA check system because we're a point of we're a POC state. We don't go through NICS; we go through TICS. And they sent the letter. The ATF sent the letter out to them. They forwarded it to all the FFLs, where the ATF is encouraging all the FFLs to convince their customers that the right thing to do is to come in and pay for a background check. And if you want to, I will read verbatim because I've got the email here. And it's like, you know, you should encourage your customers to come in because that's, you know, being responsible. That's being a responsible FFL. And I'm sitting there going, uh-uh. If the law says you can have private, I'm not going to tell them they got to come in and spend money with me. Because no matter what, I've got to run a 4473,
right?
And it's going to cost money,
right?
And nobody wants to pay the extra money.
Well, yeah,
you know. And until they make it, until Congress makes it a law that you have to do it, and then how are they going to enforce it? Even then,
well, I mean, yeah, they have to register. The only way to do that is to register everything.
Exactly. And you think
good luck with that,
right? Yeah. And you know, the NICS system goes down 5 days before Christmas because it's overloaded. Can you imagine what the database is going to be like trying to register every gun in the U.S.?
It never would. It would collapse. They couldn't do it. There's no
exactly.
way.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's just, you know, not possible. The hundreds of millions of guns, there's no possible way they could register that.
Over 300 million known firearms.
Right. You know, they can't tell you with any accuracy how many legally owned machine guns there are in the U.S.
Exactly.
And that's just 100,000 or so. I mean, come on.
Yep, yep.
It's ridiculous.
Exactly.
Hey, Baron, we got some more people lined up. So,
all right.
Thanks for calling.
I'll chat with you guys later.
All right. Bye. Thanks.
I'm going to take this anonymous call. I don't know who it is.
It's anonymous.
We'll see.
Yeah, it's 4chan.
Hello, Anonymous.
Hey, Alan, is that me?
Yeah, it must be you. Who is this?
Hey, it's Wally.
Hey, Wally.
Hi, yeah, Wally.
No wonder he's anonymous. And he is on 4chan.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, man. So, I gotta agree with what Dennis was saying. The whole private transfer thing is a real mess. I certainly don't want to be involved in a transaction between Mookie and some dude when some dude gets denied, but the gun is now on my books and I can't transfer it out to anybody. So,
yeah.
You know, F that.
Exactly. But it's the way that it's going to be structured is you have to take it into your A&D book before you transfer it out. And
right.
that's hokey.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's essentially two transfers. It's from whoever it's going to you and then out again. And, yeah, you're pretty much left in the middle with nothing to gain from the whole situation. So,
exactly.
Take the money up front.
Yeah, but a $20 or $30 transfer fee is nothing when you got an upset guy who can't get a handgun back from you because he needs a 4473 to take it back.
Yep.
Or if you get to a system where NICS goes down, and I get the updates from FBI every time the NICS systems burps, and we're going down today. We don't know why. Oh, well, thanks.
Yeah.
No, that's really helpful when it freezes everything up.
So, Wally, I got to hear how business is going for you.
I can't stand it anymore.
You can't stand it anymore?
Oh, I am. I'm a little bit behind Dennis, as you might imagine.
Yeah, I can imagine just a little bit. I know that I'm behind, and I know that you're going to be behind.
Oh, I'm probably further behind than you are. But
absolutely.
Anyway, that's a lousy combination conversation to have, since I know I owe you some, and I owe Alan some. And
you know what? It is what it is.
Actually, you know what, Wally? It's not that big a deal, because nobody's got any things to stick on them anyway. So
exactly.
Yeah, it's parts are a limited supply, but
take your time. As long as I got mine in the stack somewhere, I'm happy.
Yeah, are you going to start turning out uppers?
No, I'm not doing anything other than lowers until I'm out of lowers, or until they ban them, one or the other. So,
and like I said earlier, they're not going to ban the AR.
No way.
I wish I had that confidence, but
yeah, I mean, I got it. Yeah, you were saying about like the different companies. Yeah, they just simply went from, oh yeah, we're shut. You know, we work 9 to 5, we work a standard work day, or you know, we work a double work day with two shifts, and then on the weekends everyone gets the day off. Well, now they've taken on that. You know, nope, the machines never go down. The machines are always running. Somebody's always going ahead. But they don't want to invest in a new factory. And you know,
you guys are saying.
Saying, well, you know, nothing's going to go through, and I got to say, I hopefully agree with that, but I don't, $14 million agree with that.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and that's the flip side. I mean, even to get an inexpensive machine tooled up and turning out ARs, you're probably looking at 200 grand and at least 8 weeks, and you know, that's a big investment. Knowing that in 8 weeks the legislature can turn around and you know, make your investment worth nothing.
Not to mention hiring the guy to run it.
That is true. That is true.
Yep, yep.
Times three for, you know, three shifts and, you know.
Oh, I mean, at this point, with the market conditions, you can pretty much imagine any price and somebody will pay for it.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
But I got a great email this morning. I've got a couple of custom lowers headed up to various customers in New York. And I got an email from one fellow saying, hey, I heard about the ban. You don't have to worry about that. It doesn't apply to me because I'm law enforcement. So we're still on, right?
Oh, man.
That sounds like some cock in the butt right there.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure about that one. Yeah, but
well, you know, I've read stories about some FFLs in New York that are not, you know, when they sell a cop a gun, they're not giving them the, you know, 12 or 15 round magazine that goes with it because of that law failed to make an exception for cops.
Absolutely.
So they're giving them the gun and keeping the magazine.
with this 7 round limit, I mean, it's one of those. If it's fine if you're buying a 1911 because you can get 7 rounders for it, or you know, some other guns that have, you know, 7 rounds or less available. But when it comes to, like, if you're getting like a Glock or anything that takes a you know, a full size double stack, there's nothing that fucking exists that holds 7 rounds.
Nope.
And so you're just done. You're getting a Glock and you're drop loading it and you're gonna break your extractor, but that's the only way you're gonna get that thing to go bang.
Goes back to 94 again, when all the manufacturers came out with just smaller, more compact pistols.
Yeah, I predict a resurgence in the classic 1911 in New York State.
Exactly, 7 round, not 8.
Yep.
You know, you're gonna get that. You're also gonna see very popular in New York. You're gonna see the single stack nines,
right?
Get very popular.
Exactly.
Though to be fair, a lot of the single stack nines are, you know, nine or ten rounds.
Yeah, but somebody will make 7 round magazines for those.
But again, those weensy pocket pistols that have been super duper popular since everyone's carrying concealed now.
Right.
Those things that hold, you know, seven, six, five rounds, those are going to get super popular.
Well, what are the chances? I'm sure somebody's going to sue. over this thing.
Oh, absolutely.
So
the interesting thing I want to know is years to get resolved.
Right.
The thing I want to know is my in New York is my Smith & Wesson 617 illegal? Because that's got a 10 round wheel in it.
It's not a magazine. It's not a removable magazine.
Well, somebody could argue that the cylinder is removable.
You know what? Look at it this way. Historically, the way it works in states or areas that are anti-gun, the prosecutor will construe the law in the worst possible way for the defendant.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you've got an 8-round pistol, they're going to say, "Oh, that's illegal." It doesn't matter if the law says magazine or whatever. They'll come up with a way to screw you on it.
Or hell, you got an 8-round revolver.
And the same thing with with your 22s with the tubular magazine that hold 15 rounds. You know, all of a sudden that whole rifle's illegal. You know, your 10-22s that don't, you know, your M1s with the 8-round clips. You know.
Oh yeah.
Illegal.
Yep. Yeah.
Because
yeah,
you're not going to make a 7-round M1 clip.
They did make 5-rounders because a lot of people shot deer with them.
Hmm.
Yeah, they do make 5 and 2-rounders for the M1, but I mean, does this law take any SKS stripper clip and say the 15-cent piece of sheet metal is now a felony?
The SKS is specifically named in that law, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it is.
But I mean, even the strippers for it.
Who knows? I've certainly got at least a thousand years in prison time right here beside my desk. Because those things are about 2 cents a piece. So I'm like, I'll buy about 300 of them.
They'd put you in jail just for general purposes. Weird, and has nothing to do with your guns.
They put me in jail just for the good sex.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
And the applesauce.
Oh, that was good.
All right, guys, I got to get back to it. I'm actually running receivers at this moment, so.
Well, thanks for calling, Wally.
Thanks, bye.
All right, together.
Yeah, that was Wally from YorkArms.com. If you want to get an AR and you don't mind waiting a little bit, having the receiver when it shows up at your doorstep smelling a lot like sweat and tears.
Yeah.
he's got to be running. I mean, running balls to the wall.
Oh God.
He's got to be buried.
I bet he's up to his ball sack in aluminum shaving because I've been to Wally's shop And when I went there was probably about 800 pounds of aluminum bird's nests.
Wow.
Sitting there. And I guarantee he was not running at the capacity that he was running then because we actually stopped and the last time I was there, we actually stopped and ate.
Wow. Does he take that in for recycling, that scrap? I bet he does.
I think he does, but I don't think he gets shit for it.
Well, it probably wouldn't, but still. Hey, we got another call backed up here. And the number, if you want to talk, is 214-530-0036. I'm sorry, we're kind of all over the place with this stuff tonight. I mean, there's just so much crap going on.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's not your fault.
I'm trying to stay focused,
it's
too.
It's just one of those things. You know, there's just so much bullshit.
It's all Dennis's fault.
Yeah. Okay. Brita was having a lot of Skype trouble and apparently, but she wanted to make the point that, about the 250,000 people join NRA in 1 month and yet CNN is reporting that the people want gun control. So,
that's because they keep citing, I mean, as I've been saying on my blog, that Bloomberg sponsored quote unquote study that says that NRA members are in deep support of pretty much banning everything under the sun, and hanging themselves.
Right.
That's going to be the new Kellerman study. The Kellerman study was like proven to be completely bullshit. Like 20 minutes after it was published. But yet, still to this day, what 15 years after it was after it was published, they're still citing that, you know, a gun in your home is 15 times more likely to kill a family member than an attacker, which even the study itself doesn't say.
Right.
This is going to be their new one. It's one of those things of the, oh, we polled NRA members. We're not going to say how we got a hold of NRA members because the membership roster isn't available for their use. But we've decided that they wanted to do all this stuff. And there's a million polls all saying that, no, we don't really feel like playing this bullshit. And then there's this one poll that says, oh, yeah, we want to ban everything.
Yeah, right.
So obviously that's the true one.
Yeah. Hey, let's take another call. This is Buffalo, New York, area code 716.
Hello, Squirrel Report.
Hello.
Hello.
It's Scott.
Hey, Scott.
How are you guys?
Doing great. How is it in Buffalo?
Oh, it's terrible. It's lousy.
Are you making plans to leave yet? I hear a lot of
things that's on the table.
I hear a lot of people are talking about leaving the state because, damn, you know, if you can, I guess it'd be time to go.
Well, I mean, Cuomo did tell them that they had one year to get their magazines either destroyed or out of the state, so people are going to take them up on it. they're just going to personally escort their magazines out and make sure that they stay safe and out of trouble.
You know, I feel lucky that I was able a year and a half ago to actually get out of that state. You know, and part of it is a lot of the upstaters. Upstate doesn't make the wages that downstate does, like, you know, Manhattan and Westchester and White Plains and all that other crap, you know, the East End. And so, you know, a lot of the people up there, they get land handed down to them, houses that have been in the family for 100 years. It's all paid. And it's hard for those people to leave. You know, the unemployment rate upstate is it's very high. You know, a lot of people can't leave. Is the problem.
It is difficult to leave. And, you know, we both have a parent with dementia, you know, and most of my siblings have already left. So, you know, that falls on me for my dad.
Yikes.
And, you know, my wife is the family nurse. So, you know, I mean, we're really tied here right now. But, you know, fortunately, I do have siblings out of state, so I can send some of the stuff out of state and store it there until either I leave or the ban's overturned.
Well, that's good.
You know, so yeah, I don't know. And I mean, I'm really angry that I'm left asking myself, am I better off, you know, with, you know, just sort of quiet noncompliance or, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's a lot of soul searching going on right now.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's gotta be tough for a lot of people in New York who are sitting there going, do we go ahead and comply or just, you know, bury it, pull up a couple of floorboards, put it in the closet underneath some floorboards and forget about it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, you've got the example of the Canadians. You know, they had their gun registry. It was there for 10, 12 years. They had ridiculously low rates of compliance, and then it went away. You know? So, I mean, if the Canadians can scrap their registry, I'm hopeful that New York will be able to scrap theirs, too.
New York... The problem with New York is they've had that law in the books since 1910 or 1911 with the Sullivan Act.
Yep.
And they ain't giving it up yet. The New York motto is, if it don't work, just try harder.
Yeah, I think the absolute best thing New York's going to get out of this is something that will have a force of judicial repeal of this latest thing. And even then,
I was hoping that the Republicans weren't going to compromise and that Cuomo was going to hit us with something even harder, because I mean it almost feels like the worse it is, the more likely it is to get tossed out and overturned.
Yeah, what the fuck? I mean, I haven't paid that much attention to New York politics, but I was shocked, and well, I guess I shouldn't have been, but this, aren't the Republicans in charge of the Senate in the state?
They are not.
They're not?
they are not anymore. After the last election, the Senate flipped hands as well. Okay. So what happens is the Assembly always passes these jackass bills, and the Senate always kills them. It's why we've never gotten micro-stamping or any of this other nonsense that they try and pass. And the Senate changed hands this election, and so now they weren't able to kill the bill. And actually, it passed the Senate first before it even got to the Assembly.
Right.
Which is sort of a reverse.
But they made a big deal about the Republicans were all in favor of it. And
well, the thing is,
yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say most of the Republicans in the Senate voted for it. I think 18 Republicans voted for it, 8 voted against it.
Right.
Right.
You know, and so.
You know, and you got to remember, the Republicans are protecting their political lives, because now with the Senate flipping as it did and the Democrats are going to be in control, those Republicans that have got to save, that are still there, they want to keep their nice cushy job. They're going to play nice because now they're going to go back to their constituents, which most of, you know, where they are 50-50 split, and say, hey, look, we are bipartisan. We know how to compromise in an effort to hold on to their seats.
Sure, sure. Send some of the state pork their way.
I wonder how many of them will change parties.
What's that?
I wonder how many of them will change parties.
I don't know. I think one of them will. We've got a guy here, Mark Grisanti. He's from my neck of the woods. And he's Republican. He was on the conservative party line. We have this weird electoral fusion thing in New York where we have all these minor parties, and they all just sort of glom together at random at election time. But he got the conservative endorsement, and he got the Republican endorsement and a couple others. And he voted in favor of marriage equality or gay marriage. And, you know, a lot of people in the Republican Party, or at least in the conservative wing of the Republican Party, were pretty pissed off at him. But there was enough support for marriage equality in the Republican Party that he was able to get reelected. And Grisanti's one of the Republicans that threw us under the bus on this issue, too. So, you know, I don't know what his future is going to be like in the Republican Party here in New York.
He's going to have to flip if he wants to stay viable.
Well, I think he may have flipped. I think he may have been a Democrat and flipped to the Republican Party at one point, because
they like to do that when it changes hands.
Yeah, look at Arlen Specter. They love people.
Do we have
to look at Bloomberg? I mean, Bloomberg was a lifelong Democrat. And then, it looked like he was going to have a primary battle in front of him for the mayor of New York.
Oh,
And so he flipped over to Republican, and was smooth sailing because there weren't any Republicans in New York that were willing to lose a political battle. And he won there, and of course now is he a registered Democrat now, or is he he's not a Republican anymore? But is he?
He's a registered independent.
Now he's independent. Yeah, that's what I thought.
And did some kind of shenanigans to get another term after term limits or something.
Yeah, he got the law rewritten.
Yeah,
he had a referendum or something. I don't remember.
If it works,
exactly
it works for Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, whatever. Ugh. Hey, thanks for calling. It's nice to hear somebody that's still living in New York. I'm sorry you're
behind enemy lines.
Yeah, sorry you're having to put up with that, but good luck.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. I'll talk to you later. Have a nice weekend.
Bye.
You too. Bye.
Speaking of that, Dennis, how about for your house in New York? How's $10 sound?
You know what? Make it 11. You can have it.
Sold.
Sold.
Cool. I got a new house.
Yeah, except you got to live in New York.
No, I don't. I just have to have a new house.
That wasn't a verbal contract, was it? Oh, I'm screwed.
Oh, don't worry. I don't have $11.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Magazines.
I don't think a verbal contract work applies for houses.
Okay, good.
You have to have it, you know, in ink on paper.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. Sorry, weird.
Again, that area code, that number is 214-530-0036. And we got a call from Missoula, Montana.
Ooh.
Missoula, Montana, area code 406. You're on the air.
Holy shit, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Hot damn. I actually, this is about the second time I managed to listen to you guys. I'm actually out here in Oregon now, so.
Oh, okay.
It always happens during dinner time. So, I don't know. I mean, I just felt like calling in. It's kind of weird watching all this crap because.
First off, what's your name?
Oh, this is Tim Callahan, Wolfman.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, you've called before. I think
I've never called before.
Oh,
but
all right. I must be thinking about somebody else. Sorry. Anyway.
But don't worry. Nobody ever reads my shit either, so. But it's weird watching all the, like, you know, I follow Jay and I follow Weird and all those guys back on the East Coast, and we don't get licenses out here. It's never been anything that we do. I've never lived a place that you needed a license just to have a gun.
Yeah, no, that's a super duper rarity, and unfortunately, I have to live under that bullshit.
Well, there's a
it's
couple,
actually
well,
not
it's
a rarity, though. I mean,
it's just the ultra left wing Northeast states too. I mean, like I said, I grew up in Maine. I mean, it was one of those things of the I went from being anti gun to pro gun, but it wasn't until I moved to Massachusetts and I started having to wade through to buy my first handgun here. Where I became an absolute gun nut because I had no idea when I moved to Massachusetts. I knew some of the shit I was getting into. I had no idea that they had so much bullshit with guns. You know, in Maine, it's like every other place in America. It's, you know, you want to buy a gun. It's cash and carry. You just walk in, you do your you fill out your 4470 whatever and do your background check and you're out and you're out the door. You only need a license to carry, and that's technically it's May issue, but it's one of those May issue states that is a shall issue, and all of that. I mean, and that's the extent of it. And Maine also is one of those, you know, hey, if you don't want to get your carry permit, you can carry a gun all day long. Just don't conceal it. And
so I open carry all the time here in Oregon. I don't have my permit. I had a permit in Montana and then Arizona. Thank God went constitutional carry. I never got my paperwork done there, but so
it's hilarious.
I just open carry all the time out here.
Because a permit in Montana is only good in what, three towns?
Well, it's inside city limits. Anywhere outside city limits, there's no law. It's only inside city limits you have to have a concealed carry permit.
Wow.
So that comprises about 99.8% of the state.
Yeah, if you're in like Missoula proper, do you need a carry permit?
To conceal, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's only the conceal law is only within any city limits of, you know, any Montana town. You need to, if you're going to conceal, you got to have a permit inside city limits. Outside city limits, all, you know, nobody cares. Nobody gives a shit, which is all of the rest of Montana.
Yeah.
Now are you from Missoula?
I actually grew up just north of Missoula.
Okay. Did you ever spend any time in Commander Zero's gun shop?
I guess I don't know.
Okay.
But AccuArms, I used to go into AccuArms a lot, and I used to go into Sportsman Surplus. It's a great store, but it's gone now.
I don't think anybody knows who Commander Zero is anymore, Weird.
Yeah, well, they're just Commander Zero.
Ever since they fell off the internet.
Did they fall off the internet?
Yeah, pretty much.
I haven't really followed them much since the LiveJournal days.
Yeah. Ever since she took her LiveJournal private and basically killed her blog.
Well, her blog popped up a few times, but I thought Commander Zero was going pretty steadily. But did he go dark too?
I hadn't paid any attention to either one of them. Years.
I always liked his blog because he was a prepper, but he was a practical prepper, and he kept pointing out the fact that you don't have to be a black helicopter sort of guy to be a prepper, and you don't need to have a concrete bunker in your backyard to be a prepper. You just have to you can actually do it to save money and be convenient.
Yeah.
Hell, to be a prepper in Montana, all you got to do is not live in Missoula proper.
Yeah, I think everybody outside of town in up there is a prepper by necessity.
What was the name of that blogger?
Commander Zero.
I just looked them up, and there's something posted yesterday.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go.
I never even heard of them.
Well, it looks like somebody else will have to add to my list.
Well, he's...
My wife makes fun of me because I spend all day reading your guys' shit.
He's more... He's actually
except for
more,
you, Alan. You don't blog anymore.
He's actually more famous for who he married than himself, I think.
That's because she's awfully pretty.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there.
Well, anyhow, I better go finish cooking dinner because, like I said, you know, guys always happen at dinner time. So right. I better finish
what
up.
What are you having?
But awesome, I got to talk to you guys. Badass. Chicken enchiladas.
Oh, yum.
Oh, fuck right. Oh, cool. Yeah, make me one.
Well, get your ass over here. It's a long way, but I'll save
I'll
some.
Be right there.
Thanks for calling.
give me 5 minutes. Let me open up my wormhole.
Damn, that'd be nice.
We need a fucking wormhole.
Hey, yeah, we do. In a bad way. It would certainly save a lot of transportation issues, wouldn't it?
It'd save a whole lot of Skype issues.
Yeah, boy, that's
if we were
sure.
all sitting in your living room.
Oh, that's a scary thought.
It's okay. I'd be naked and masturbating.
Like I said. That's a scary
No, story. That should be comforting.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Anyway, call-in number, 214-530-0036. Shit.
Question for you, Alan, while you're thinking. You're going to be at the NRA this year, correct?
I live at the NRA this year.
You're okay, that's right, you are. Weird, are you going to head down?
I am.
Very cool, we'll see you there.
Do you have a hotel room? Because I got to book mine, and it's probably going to be a double occupancy, and I'd like to have a roommate.
I haven't booked it yet. My wife would like to attend, but you know, it's not like anything is going to go on. And we'll definitely split a room.
Yeah, we'll talk.
That's
we'll
okay.
Talk.
Weird wouldn't mind watching.
yeah. You see, and I was waiting for Weird to say it, but then it comes out of Alan's mouth.
You no, you have to. Everybody who listens to this show already knew what was going through my head.
Oh man!
Weird will even bring the duct tape.
Oh. Yeah, I'll let you know what's going on, and because I got to talk to Jay because Jay's already booked it. I'd like to be in the same hotel as him.
Yeah, so. the thing with Jay is you can be in the same hotel. He just doesn't like splitting rooms with anybody.
Yeah, no shit. Unlike you, he must snore.
I guess.
Or he's worried about me just standing there watching him sleep.
Well, who wouldn't be?
Dennis didn't seem to mind. He was like a little angel.
Oh, man. Okay.
Guys.
Oh, man.
Okay.
So anyway, make your plans if you're going to be in Houston. This is the place to be. Actually, I don't know. I didn't go to an NRA convention last year, but I'm definitely going this year because it's here where I live. But
next year is going to be in my neck of the woods. It's going to be in Tennessee.
Yep.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
So, I don't know. I think you have to be a member to go to the convention if you're not.
Yeah, but that's $25.
Right. Yeah, it's not that big a deal. Or 35. I thought it was $35. Anyway. But if you're a blogger type, you can call the media relations people at the NRA and get a free pass.
Yep.
So there's a little hint. And no, there won't be a party at my place. Okay, here's the thing. Houston is really big. My apartment is an hour away from the convention center.
Whoa. Houston, it takes an hour just to get across Houston?
If there's no traffic, it takes an hour to get across Houston.
No way.
Dude, Houston covers over 600 square miles.
Holy shit, that's big.
Yeah, when I drive up north to get my daughter, I leave like at 3 o'clock and I'm on the south side. I'm just outside the city limits on the south side of Houston near where NASA is.
Right.
And I start north, and it takes me an hour and a half to get to the other side of the city limits of Houston.
That's not a city. That's a country.
Damn near, yeah. I could drive across New Jersey in less time than that, I think.
Yes, I could.
I certainly have.
Yeah, well, I have too. I've done it in less. I've done Philly to Atlantic City in less than an hour. So,
yeah, if you're really cooking, you'll do it in less than an hour.
Yep.
And don't worry, you can, because the cops are doing 90.
Yeah, as long as you're not going faster than them in Jersey, they don't bother you.
No.
Oh God, one of the times when I was working down in Jersey, I had a cop come up behind. I was going a little over the speed limit, and suddenly, all of a sudden, I see the grill of a Crown Vic in my rearview mirror, and it was one of those. It wasn't there a second ago, and I went, "What the fuck?" And I pulled into the other. I was in the fast lane. I pulled over into the slow lane and cut my speed down. The son of a bitch blew by me like I was standing still, and that was the end of that.
Oh yeah,
he was probably pissed because you were hogging up the fast lane.
That's exactly what he was.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that's why Breeder likes her new car so much. It's a Mercury Marquis, which is the body double of the Crown Vic.
Oh yeah,
and everybody that sees her driving on the street kind of like slows down. And
that's what I tell everyone. If I see the grill of a Crown Victoria in my rearview mirror, I don't care if the hood on that thing is lime green.
Yeah.
I am pulling over and slowing down.
It's funny, you know, you get to the point where when you're a driver, you notice the grill work of what a police car is.
Yep.
And when you see that grill work coming at you, then you go, okay, it's a cop.
Whether it is
now
or not.
Now they're not, right.
Now it might be a little librarian driving her car to work.
But which also is just now it's cool. Now those Crown Vics are all getting retired. Now it's all Dodge Chargers and Ford Tauruses.
Yeah.
The Charger I can see. The Taurus, though, come on.
Well, it's not the Taurus. It is the Ford Interceptor. actually, my next door neighbor just got one. It's his cop car, and I asked him how he liked it, because I know with the Chevy, when the Chevy phased out the
Caprice,
the Caprice. They tried to keep the market share in the departments by having the Impala SS be the new police cruiser, and that went over like a lead balloon, because when you throw a laptop, when you take the front drive Impala, throw in a laptop, and then throw in a cop who might have a couple of donuts under his belt and his duty belt and all of that stuff in there, suddenly it's a bitch to get the door closed.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, my the police officer that gave me my firearms training for Massachusetts, his patrol car was an Impala, and he just went on for a good long time about how much he fucking hated that car. He hated that car, and his duty weapon was a Smith & Wesson third gen in 40, and he hated that fucking thing too. Oddly enough, Smith & Wesson stopped making them.
Go fig.
Go fig. And Zircool bought them all.
Oh.
It's got like 15 of them.
Yeah, but now he's got to get out of New York.
Now he's got to get out of New York.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
You know what? That surprised me that he actually said, that's it. We're going to put everything in motion, and we're going to get out of here. He was one of the last ones I would have thought to leave, because he really loves upstate New York.
Yeah. Well, he's got good hunting land there. I mean,
oh, man.
It's a fucking shame.
You know, and I feel sorry for the gun owners up there and even the FFLs up there in New York, because a lot of people don't know this. FFLs up in New York have to keep two sets of books, and they have to match. The state requires their own acquisition and disposal books, and the feds require their own, and they have to match.
Damn.
Yes, there is a state. The state licenses you to sell. The feds license you to sell. And if you get your FFL through the ATF, your federal one, and the state of New York says no, you just wasted $200 for the application fee and everything else, and you can't conduct business. New York FFLs keep two sets of books, and they better match.
Man, and that's something actually that kind of segue is, you know, we've been talking about, you know, oh, maybe we're, you know, whether or not this is, you know, whether or not like an assault weapons ban or a magazine ban is going to go through. People are concerned that something may go through, and that, you know, I'm hopefully optimistic, but again, there's, you know, I'm not $14 million optimistic on it. But the one of the only thing that they keep floating that I think has any sort of real danger to it is the getting rid of private sales, is making it so that you can make it so that FFLs have to conduct every transfer of firearm ownership.
I don't see that happening.
When you think, well, yeah, but you know, I can see the law going through. I can't see it happening. I mean, the police in Boston are on the lookout for two choir boys who are trying to sell a pair of pistols on the subway in the heart of Boston. So, I mean, it's one of those, you can get rid of private sales, it doesn't fucking change anything.
Yeah, but you're not going to get rid of private sales.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying is, once they if they passed a law that said all private sales had to go through a licensed firearm dealer, think about all the paperwork they have to go through, and think about what happened to Red's Trading Post.
Oh yeah, but the problem with requiring all private sales to go through a dealer is, how do you enforce it? The only possible way to enforce it is through universal registration.
You ain't going to have that either.
It just simply cannot be done.
Yeah, it might work in a small state like Massachusetts or Maryland. It might work.
The only reason it works in those states is it's been that way for so long.
Yeah.
And by
works just means we have a right. Registration. There's never been registration information issued as court evidence or anything like that. It's never stopped a crime.
Well, of course not. And I'm willing to bet that for however many guns are registered, there are just as many that aren't.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh yeah.
So
that goes on in New York like you wouldn't believe. There's so many, you know, the whole thing with the New York registering the handguns. Well, now it's going to be long guns also, but in the past it was handguns. There are so many unregistered handguns in New York. Nobody knows where they are.
Right.
You know, and those are going to stay unregistered, and nobody's going to know where they are 100 years from now.
Yep.
You just can't enforce it.
But again,
you know, just to go, I want to beat this drum just a little bit, just because whether or not the law will work practically or whatnot, you know, you still gotta be concerned about new laws in the books muddying the water and causing problems. And people need to remember that, you know, if suddenly the FFL becomes the linchpin towards legal private transfers of firearms, those FFLs can be shut down overnight. All you need is something like Clinton, where he said, "Nope, needs to only be brick and mortars. We're not going to issue to any."
And that cut the FFLs by three quarters.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And then think about like with Red's Trading Post or whatever. I'm sorry, I don't remember the company name right, but I mean they lost their FFL because people were writing Y and N instead of yes and no on the books, and that was the big reason why the ATF suspended their FFL, was saying that they had negligent clerical errors.
Right.
The key thing that they cited was that when people were filling out the forms, instead of writing yes and no, they wrote Y and N.
Yep.
That's not a clerical error.
According to the ATF, it is.
According to that, and those people, I mean, they lost their livelihood.
Yep.
And which one was this?
Red's Trading Post. It was a gun dealer in, shit, where was it?
I think Oklahoma, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. It was.
Really?
It was a pretty big one, too. They were, you know, what it was is the ATF went looking for somebody to make an example out of, and they did.
Wow.
They didn't. Yep. They didn't care who it was. They were going to make an example out of them, and they put. Yep. Right, they brought the full weight of the. You know, and they could have, Reds probably could have fought it, but they started looking at how much money it was going to cost them, and they're just, that money just didn't exist. So they had to, they had to basically went out of business.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And that, but that's the thing is all you need to do is you need someone that just says, all right, now that everything's going through these FFLs, let's get rid of them all. And it'll be all, but you know, maybe they'll step away from, you know, Walmart or other, you know, great big retailers that they can, you know, that, you know, that they can kind of glom for some political money. But they can get rid of your corner gun shop in 5 seconds. Cause all they got to do is just say, all right, we're just going to look all over the things and anything that even looks sideways. Oh, you know, the ink got smudged on this form or, you know, we decided this is a little, you know, this is a little too informal. And all of a sudden, that FFL gets suspended, and ta-da! Now you got to drive, you know. Now you got to drive 50 miles to get to the nearest gun shop so you can sell your guns.
Red's Trading Post is in Idaho.
Okay.
Yeah,
apparently they're still in business.
Yeah, no, they went out for a little while, and I think they came back. I think the ATF came, but they were. I mean, that's similar to the idea of, you know, people talking about Gandhi fighting the British Raj with nonviolence. No, that was because the British Raj decided that they didn't want to kill Gandhi.
Right. Hey, we got another caller.
Cool.
This is area code 443 in Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh, another belly of the beast.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Alan et al. This is Chris from Chris and Laura.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Maryland. Chris, how are you?
Awesome.
I'm okay. How are you? So I just wanted to tell you all that...
somebody to take me frog gigging here in Tennessee.
Gig him!
So I was just... what you guys were just talking about, the forms are still like that here. You can't abbreviate anything.
Oh, you can't do that anywhere, yeah.
And we're next. Tomorrow, the governor announces what the plan is, and see if we're just like New York or combination thereof. So
they're going to do that in Maryland too? Oh, geez, you're scared.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Wow.
Wow.
Him and Bloomberg had his little conference on Monday, and he's been preparing whatever he's going to say tomorrow. So he's supposed to make his big announcement tomorrow.
Well, they're trying to do it in all the blue states, and I think this is actually a coordinated attack. I think what they want to do is they want to get the NRA to start hemorrhaging money on blue states where the battle's going to be fought, you know, tough, and victories are overall going to be, you know, fairly inconsequential. I mean, it's one of those, you know, they can drop the hammer on, you know, on me tomorrow, and really in the end, you know, how many gun owners are you protecting here in Massachusetts?
Right.
And so, I think because it's one of those, yeah, in Massachusetts is rolling out some fresh controls. We'll see if it gets anywhere because our governor is one of the dumbest human beings on the planet. But the, and he's been trying to pass gun control, and this state is not gun friendly, and he hasn't been able to get shit done in, you know, almost, you know, like it's been 6 years now. But the, but the idea is they keep rolling out more and more nasty. They keep rolling out more and more nasty laws in the blue state. Illinois's got a whole bunch of crappy stuff going through, and all of that. I think the whole point is to try to get the NRA and the Second Amendment Foundation to blow their political and monetary wad on fighting small potatoes laws. So maybe something federal can sneak through.
Well, you know what? That's probably true with the NRA, but I think SAF is way too smart. He's been doing this since, what, 1974 when he started the SAF? He knows what he's doing. He's not stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's already got a case here on concealed carry. So, as far as I know, it's being stalled. They took away the state police here, even though we're a may issue state. They have this little caveat where you have to have a reason. And the reason has to be either you're well-connected, you're rich, or you have to have three immediate threats on your life, or you have to be a business owner. Anyone else does not qualify. So everyone here, and they always send out the statistics about how great Maryland is, and look, we only denied four applications and whatever. Well, no one applies because it costs like $200, and they're going to deny it.
Yeah, unless you know for sure that you're going to get okayed, you're not going to bother.
Yeah, there's an organization here called Maryland Shell Issue, and they kind of keep track of everything. And there's, like, so many people that are just like, yeah, you might as well not even bother because it isn't going to happen. So last year, the Second Amendment Foundation sued the state, and the judge removed the you have to have a reason thing and said the state was being unreasonable. And then they got a stay, and then they went back to court in October, and the stay was lifted, so then everybody sent applications in again, and then the state police basically said that they got another stay, and the state police basically said, well, we're just going to send back your check and your application because the law is still up in the air, and so there's none of those count as denials because they never processed them. They just sent them back.
Oh, great.
Oh, jeez.
Chicken shit.
So we're still waiting to hear on that, and now all of a sudden we got the rest of this crap. So,
you know, it's funny. They know they can't win in a stand-up fight, so they do this, you know, this they pull this bullshit where they, you know, they chicken shit around the law or they, you know, they pass
right.
something in the middle of the night or they lie and all that kind of stuff because, you know, they know if they're straight up and honest with people that they'll never win.
Right.
But you know what? You know what? What's really telling? You have states like Massachusetts and New Jersey, New York, and now Maryland going, we're going to just try harder and keep pressing. And then you got states like Texas going, fuck you.
Right.
You know, Perry going, nah, we're not going to force any gun bans.
Wyoming, Mississippi. There's like six or seven states where there's either the governor, the attorney general has announced that, you know, they're not going to enforce any federal laws. There's actually several that are having legislation introduced that would say, you know, it is a crime, a felony.
Right.
Punishable by time in jail and a huge fine to try to enforce one of these federal bans within the state. So,
you know, that actually.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
We already have a ton of laws on the books. I mean, we have a mag ban. We have a registry of certain rifles that have to be transferred like handguns, where you have to wait 7 days and all that, and that's like AKs and ARs, and certain ARs are okay, but other ARs aren't, and certain AKs are okay, and there's a list. There's a list that the state police puts out, and if the handgun or rifle is not on the list, you can't buy one. And then all the transfers have to be done either at an FFL or at the state police for handguns and these restricted rifles, and then regular rifles are cash and carry with a check like normal, but everything else is pretty restricted. And I'm like, you know, they're talking about doing more stuff, and I'm like, what are they going to do? I mean, we already have all this other crap, and they're just going to, I mean, I don't know what else, you know, they can restrict. We already have a 20-round mag limit. We already have, you know, all the rest of the restrictions on transfers and everything, and I'm like, you know, they're just going to ban them. I don't know what else they can do. So we'll find out tomorrow.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and contrast that. See the thing that you know, clearly none of this works on logic, right? I mean, let's throw that out the door. But you know, you got states like Florida and Oklahoma and Arizona and, you know, Vermont and Alaska and, you know, Texas and, you know, basically every other state except the East Coast and the West Coast, which you know, by and large, has relatively few gun laws and manages just fine. And then you got these coastal things that for some reason they have to have, you know, all these rules and regulations that don't manage anything. Somebody in the Murgatroyd in the chat is saying, ask if those restrictions make Maryland a safer place to live. I think we all know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We promise that when you get mugged, the person's going to stick a knife in you instead of shoot you.
Yeah. So, you know, and the response, you know, it's, you get all these laws, you know, the New York, the Massachusetts, the New Jersey, the Maryland, the DC, and all that stuff where they pass all these laws and, you know, crime goes up and, you know, Chicago is of course the poster child for gun control.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, none of this shit works and it just makes things worse. And, you know, it's like, you know, you just want to grab them and shake them and say, you know, what the fuck are you trying to do here? Cause obviously you're not interested in, you know, keeping people safe and reducing crime. Cause you know, if you were,
yeah, absolutely. I wonder all the time. I'm like, you know, you want us to be like Chicago, but look at Chicago.
Yeah, who wants to be like that? Nobody wants to be like Chicago.
Right.
And yet, you know,
I mean, we're right behind them, but it's like they use no logic whatsoever. It's just, they just keep going and going, and it's like, well, it doesn't work. I mean,
yeah, and then you get places like Florida, where I mean, all the antis were going nuts about saying, oh my God, justifiable homicide has been up 20-some% since Florida passed the Stand Your Ground law. And like
that's a problem.
That's more violent criminals getting shot. That's awesome. That's saying don't fuck with us here. Go to another state.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny is these are all people that don't mind somebody else dying for their beliefs.
Exactly.
You know, these rich the Northeastern liberals and these rich California liberals they live in little enclaves where, you know, they don't have a gun. They don't know anybody that has a gun. They don't need one.
Oh, no. They know someone who has a gun. You saw the video of the guy who did the Acorn videos. He, what the hell's his name?
Oh, Project Veritas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He, Project Veritas made that fake gun control group. It was trying to get
to put the signs up. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, the New York people and like half of them armed, you know, armed private security came up and flashed their pieces at them and said, "Get the hell out of here."
Well, see, that's the thing is they can afford that, and so they don't have to. They can pay somebody else to have a gun for them, so they don't have to.
Well, exactly. There's that, and if you watch the Project Veritas video. They went to one person's house, and his wife works for the paper. He answered the door, and they said, you know, would you go ahead and put this, you know, we're proudly gun-free. And the guy – now, this is illegal in New York, and it's on tape. The guy lifted up his shirt and goes, I'm armed. And he brandished his weapon on tape. Brandishing is punishable. It is a Class D. It's the worst misdemeanors, right below felony.
Yeah, right. But you know what? He's married to an only one journalist, so they're not going to do anything.
Right. They went to his house. He's like, no, I'm not gun-free. I'm armed. And he lifts, and he's got a Glock. But his Mexican carry was actually in his waistband without a holster.
Nice.
Dennis, you should send him one.
one more thing, and then I'll go. The funniest thing in the world in Baltimore is I've seen Mayor Bloomberg twice this year, and I'm not going to say where. And all of us can't carry guns in Baltimore City, but he gets out of two SUVs with 9 armed security guards, which is hilarious. Oh,
Jesus.
Great. Oh, that makes me want to mention the petition to make the White House and the president a gun-free zone.
Right.
Did you see that? It got its 25,000 signatures, which ought to be. I can't wait to see the response to that.
It's 100,000 now.
No, it's 25. Well, it's grandfathered.
Of course, it's grandfathered. Okay.
Yeah,
that's actually a post that I've got brewing in the wings. I just haven't had a chance to write it yet. Talking about how many of these things where the White House has said, oh, if you get, you know, so many signatures that, you know, it'll get a response from the White House.
Right.
And they just don't respond to them.
No, they respond, but it's some asinine, go away, kid, you're bothering me kind of response. I mean, it's
No. There's been like something like 60% of the petitions have had zero response. No, nice. They only
seem to respond to the ones that they have a position on, and then they just give you whatever their position is, yeah. And then the rest of them they haven't
responded. or the ones that are funny enough that it's fun for them to respond, yeah, to, like the
Death,
you know,
Star one.
Yeah, can we build, yeah, a Death Star?
Yeah,
right. So, all right. Well, thanks, everybody.
Thanks for calling, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Sure.
All right. See y'all later.
Yeah. But by the way, this—you just got me thinking about the non-enforcement of the federal law thing. Is, you know, between this and the different states that are getting the legalized marijuana, whether it be, you know, medical or whether it be, you know, the appropriate way, which is just saying, get high, right, take it for chemo. I don't give a shit. Just, you know, just enjoy it and don't cause any problems. And all these states are saying, you know, fuck you. We're not going to enforce the law. Send the feds in. I'm wondering if some federal laws come through and a bunch of states say, you know, screw it. We don't want to play that game. We're getting rapidly close to, you know, how we were with the 13 original colonies.
Oh, sure we are. Sure we are. And I think I even mentioned it a couple of weeks ago on one of the times I called in was I really feel that the country could fracture and you could see secession. It you know what? States are going headlong into, we don't want to play the Fed game anymore.
Yeah, wait till California and Illinois and New York and some of these other states go to the feds and ask for a bailout.
Oh, you know, they go and ask for a bailout, they're going to be treated the same way that Greece is being treated by the rest of the EU. All the states are going to go, fuck you, we're keeping our money.
Yeah.
You know, and then what's going to happen is either going to go one of two ways. It's going to go Galt. In other words, it's going to be just like Atlas Shrugged, where the feds pass laws, you know, to keep states, you know, from being too profitable or too poor and all that crap, or it's going to fracture. There's only one of two ways it can go.
Oh, there's another way it can go.
What's the third way?
Well, it can just, you know,
meet wind chimes.
Hey, we got another caller.
Cool.
This is Littleton, New Hampshire. Area code 603. Hello.
Oh, no.
Hey, Dennis, it's your brother.
It's my brother, like... David.
Oh, wow. All right.
It's my younger brother.
So hi, everybody. How are we doing? So, no, I was listening, and I just figured I'd give a call and say hi. And, like, you know, mom's looking for you, that kind of thing. So I thought, I guess,
you know. Dennis, call your mother. You never call anymore.
No, that's not why I'm calling. And actually weird, I don't know if you recall, but we were shooting. We went shooting in Southern New Hampshire at one of the bloggers, at two of the blogger shoots, actually, a couple of years in a row.
Yep.
I used to have, Fighting for Liberty. That was my little online space.
Yep.
Oh, I remember
that. And, actually, funny story, regarding that, actually, is sort of segueing into what I wanted to bring up with you guys was, it was shortly after, I think the last one I went to was like 2 or 3 years ago. And it was, shortly after that, I was carpooling with Marco. And, we had, you know, the shoot's over and, you know, or we were leaving at least because, you know, he has to go to Upper Cryogenica and I'm in like Nunavut, you know, up here. And, so we're loading up the minivan, right? Which, you know, move the car seat for the kids out of the way and put the SKS down and all that kind of stuff. And, so we had, I don't know, three or four long guns in there and, a few handguns, you know, maybe 5,000 round ammunition or whatever it was that I just threw in my bag and brought and, whatever he had. And directionally, I'm not great, right? So, and we're way down southern, like way down in southern New Hampshire. And so we take a turn out of the driveway. We take a turn out of the, you know, out of the parking area and all that kind of stuff. And we're kind of cruising along, and oh, that was fun, and you know, oh, the smell of gunpowder in the air and all that kind of stuff. And sure enough, here's this sign right by the side of the road. I took a wrong turn and did not have a GPS on. And welcome to Massachusetts. And immediately, it's like, well, okay, let's just do a U-turn in the middle of the road, and that's fine. And just like, you know, get some cars out of the way and that kind of thing. So it's sort of funny because it's brings to mind, you know, all this kind of stuff going on now with New York and everything. And it sure does seem like the goal for you know, these people that are making these laws and all this kind of stuff, to me, it doesn't seem like they're targeting gun owners. And it doesn't seem like they're targeting any, like, specific kind of gun, specific kind of person. What it really seems like is they're trying to make felons out of as many people as possible.
I mean, that's the root of all laws. I mean, it's one of those. I mean, that's one of my big complaints of I'm one of those. I'm pretty hardline when it comes to the Second Amendment, but I'm a little bit squishy on some of the points on the Gun Control Act of 68. Was one of those. You know, I don't want, you know, Mookie and Ice Dog packing their guns because they're violent criminals. And you know what, frankly, not being a violent criminal is really easy. I do it every fucking day, and I don't really have a whole lot of sympathy for those people. But for things like, I mean, when you get like down to like, if I was stuck in an elevator with Martha Stewart and she had a gun on her, I'm really not going to be all that scared. But Martha Stewart's a convicted felon, and she did some time in prison, and she can't have a gun.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's just all that you know. You know, it used to be felonies meant something. To be a convicted felon meant that, you know, you were raping nuns or, you know, burning down orphanages and things like that.
You were murdering somebody or doing something heinous.
Yeah, a felony was like, it wasn't, you weren't just committing a crime. You were committing a severely antisocial crime, and no one's going to be giving you any sympathy because you're a fucking monster. Nowadays, right. It just meant like, you know, I mean, I, how many people have I fucking talked to who is like, oh, I'd love to get into, you know, I'd love to get into guns. But, you know, back when I was in college, I got, you know, I got nabbed with a joint
or hell, I put some fill dirt in the wrong part of my land and pissed off the EPA. I mean,
I got caught scrubbing short lobsters.
I have too many rabbits in my backyard. I mean, there's the list of things that are felonies are just, it's ridiculous. The things you can get nailed on.
And you know, I'm curious, for New York in particular, I'm wondering how many people, I mean, it's obviously like, you know, Cuomo's all over, like this is all over the news and all that kind of stuff, but how many people are there that are gun owners or maybe they have, you know, that they have, a 10-round something or other, just, you know, sitting in a safe somewhere, maybe it was given to them by their dad or what have you, that I mean, is it possible for somebody to not be paying attention to news?
Sure.
Where a year from now, this is going to lapse, and, you know, who knows what can happen, or they go to try and sell it, or they're carrying it somewhere. So, like, you know, I wonder what the percentage of people are that actually don't know what's going on. I mean, you know, we're in this circle. But when you're a gunny, you pay attention to this kind of stuff, and there's a lot of people, I think, that probably have them and have absolutely no idea what's going on.
There are people that still have fully automatic machine guns in their attics that were bringbacks from World War I or World War II that don't know that they're illegal.
Sure, sure.
You know, there are people in Massachusetts, probably, I bet there's somebody every day in Massachusetts that doesn't realize their lifetime firearm owner ID card is now not lifetime. Cool. You know, I mean, unless you're actively paying attention, and frankly, most people don't, you know, most people don't pay attention to this shit.
Exactly. They don't. Real quick. I don't want to get off topic. New York. Well,
get the fuck off topic. We're not using it.
Okay. Well, first thing, New York, the 10-round stuff, the 10-round magazines that were legal, that are now illegal, are still legal if you had them. You're just not allowed to put more than 7 rounds in them.
Right. But don't you have
– that is an absolutely fucking hilarious.
But isn't that – but isn't that
hilarious.
Isn't that only for the next year?
No. Even going forward.
No. 10 from what I've read about the New York law, 10-round anything above 10, there's no grandfathering. You've got 1 year to get them out of the state or destroy them. Otherwise, it's a felony. Again, another bullshit felony.
Right.
You know, I've got a box with a spring in it that holds, you know, 15 rounds. Obviously, I'm the most dangerous person on the planet. But the if you have a magazine that holds 10, and you've had it before the ban went through, because now you know anything over 7 is now considered restricted, so you can't buy any new production. But old production mags that hold 10 or less are grandfathered in to New York the same way as, you know, pre-94 magazines were grandfathered in with the assault weapons ban or in states that still have bullshit magazine laws. But you can just never put more than 7 rounds in them.
Yeah, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
If this doesn't get overturned, I see somebody making a nice little business in aftermarket followers.
Oh, yeah. Put a plug in there. Right. There you go. It's now 7. You can never put more than 7 in there. Yeah. Oh, I'm telling you, this is Obama's economic stimulus. He is creating jobs because creative gunnies are going to find ways to get around all this stuff. Now, before my brother hangs up, I'd like to give him a plug if it's okay.
Sure.
Okay. He is an actual DJ now. He does a radio. Cool. He does a radio show.
Oh, wow.
It's a local AM station on Saturday nights, and it streams over the internet also. It's called Box of Chocolates, and he does some pretty good – you can go ahead and describe it, David.
Oh, I saw that. I saw you pimping that on the Facebook.
Yeah, well, thank you for the plug, Numskull.
Hey, you called me just to bust phones. Thank you.
Yeah, but you earn it.
I'll pull this thing over.
You better watch it. I'm going to conference mom in, all right?
Dennis, call your mother.
I do. Just it's just like a variety music thing. It's a volunteer. It's AM radio. Our actual, like, our AM reach, like, from the antenna, I think it runs on a quarter of a watt. So I'm not actually sure. It's down the street. I don't know if I can actually pick up the signal in my house.
One of those powerhouse stations.
Hey, with the internet, well, and you know what? It's all FCC stuff. This is interesting. You know, right on the government thing, they're trying to apply for an FM license, but that gets shut down. You can only apply like once every 12 years for like 3 days, and it has to be a full moon, and you know, everything has to be signed in blood. So. You know,
at night you can go a mile.
That's right. If there's cloud cover.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the conversation, guys. Take care.
Thanks for calling.
Take care. See you, David. Bye.
But by the way, at one of those shoots that David and I were at, just so people know how southern New Hampshire we were talking about, is we were downrange setting up the targets and cleaning up the debris before the next volley of rounds went downrange. And I had a little bit of a full bladder, and there were no ladies present, so I decided to take a leak, and I made sure that not a single drop of piss fell in the state of New Hampshire. It all went into Massachusetts.
It's very funny, because I went to one of those shoots, Alan. It's right behind the berm that you're shooting at. Literally 5 feet behind the berm is the Massachusetts line. So, you know, you're basically unloading a shooting at a berm, and 5 feet behind it is Massachusetts.
When shooting a short-barreled shotgun, I accidentally skipped a shotgun slug into Massachusetts, and I was perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, it's a nice little. If you ever get up there, Alan, it's a nice shoot that Jay helps put together.
Oh, I've not been to the shoot, but I know what you're talking about as far as because I've driven. I was up in Massachusetts. I was actually up in Billerica, and I was in Boston.
Bricka.
And we took a drive. We spent the afternoon, and we drove for a few hours, and I think we hit five or six states. So it was.
Yeah, that's amusing for you, fucking Texans.
You drive for
2 days straight without breaks, and you're still in fucking Texas. meanwhile, I can drive for 3 hours and be in Canada.
Yeah,
and cross three states to get there.
Shit, I can't even be in Mexico in 3 hours.
You don't have to be. You live in Texas.
Shit, Mexico's like 10 hours away from me.
Mexico came to you.
Yeah, that's right.
You're still 10 hours north of Mexico?
Dude, Texas is big. I'm way on the south east corner of Texas.
Oh, God. Underneath. Texas is so fucking big.
You know, if you look,
my wife and I took
look at a map. Look at a map and find Galveston Island and look at Galveston Bay and go up to where near the Houston Ship Channel is and then down a little scooch, and that's where I am.
I like that. Down a little scooch. That's that is a Texas word if I ever heard it.
Yep. No, the wife and I took a cruise out of Galveston, and the way to get there is we flew into Houston, and then we had a car take us to Galveston. And it was a long fucking drive through a whole lot of nothing to get there.
Yep. Well,
at least it was nice and brown.
From the south end of the Houston city limits, it's 30 minutes to Galveston Island on 45 if there's no traffic. So
okay, so most of that nothing was Houston.
Yeah, it probably was, depending on where you flew into. This is getting way into Missouri politics here. I don't know that people want to. I don't think any people want to hear about, Texas, driving in Texas. I will say that it's nice to get out in the middle of nowhere on the highway and be able to do like 90 miles an hour legally.
Yeah, your speed limit's what, like 120?
It may as well be.
That was like me driving in northern Maine to get up to my grandmother's funeral as I went. I'm going to figure out what my what the optimal top speed of this vehicle is, and I found that in sixth gear at 2,500 RPM, I was doing 95 miles an hour.
Yeah. Now, seriously, Alan, what is the legal speed limit when you're out in the boonies there?
There are some. Well, it depends on where you are. It depends on what highway you're on and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a stretch between Austin and San Antonio that's 85 now, I think, and most of the divided highways in West Texas are 80.
Okay, so 85, and the cops will normally give you between 7 and 12 miles an hour over,
right,
as speedometer, bullshit.
Sure.
So you can hit 97 and just set the cruise control and go.
Oh, there's people that get out there and put the cruise control on 100 and go. I mean, it's, it just depends on where you
are. Oh, that's just so cool.
And to be fair, Dennis, I mean, like I said, when I was driving up in northern Maine, I mean, here I was up in the Haynesville woods of Maine. There's no fucking cops up there. So, I mean, who gives a shit what the speed limit says? It doesn't matter. If there's no one to pull me over to give a ticket, there ain't no speed limit.
Well, yeah, but you got to worry about like moose and all that stuff.
Yeah.
They're delicious, though.
I will say one thing, and this is – we're getting really way off topic here, but we only got a few more minutes, so I'm going to indulge myself.
Go ahead.
You can – you know how the, atmosphere – traveling through the atmosphere, the amount of effort – it's an invert – it's a square law, right?
Yes.
The amount of force – if you double the speed, it's four times the force through the winds. And – You don't think there's much of a difference between 75 and 85?
Oh, it's a huge difference.
It's only
difference.
10 miles an hour, but you go from 75, and I'm sitting there watching my gas mileage on the truck, and I'm getting, 75 miles an hour, I'm getting a solid 19 miles a gallon. and I punch it up to 85, and all of a sudden I'm getting like 15 miles a gallon, and it's totally wind resistance.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. That's why making it slippery is you know, all the cars look the same now because they all have the same coefficient.
Yep. Yeah, well, the truck doesn't. Truck's got a coefficient of a brick.
All right. Sorry to have gotten you off.
No, that's there. Okay. We were done anyway. I think
it was toward the end of the show. I figure what the hell.
We've beaten this topic to death. And
I think we can do another hour.
Apparently, a few people are interested in driving fast. I don't know.
Because driving fast is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I tell you, you get out there, and the 55 miles an hour was just murder in Texas. I remember I used to drive between Dallas and Lubbock for school, and when it was 55 miles an hour. And you get out there in the middle of nowhere in West Texas doing 55 miles an hour, and it just feels like you're just on a death ride. I mean, it just takes freaking forever to get anywhere. It's crazy.
Well, again, since when did liberals ever give a shit about flyover country?
Yeah, right.
But now, you see, the one thing I will say about Texas and your drivers, you scare the living hell out of me. Before I was married, my wife worked in Austin for a year for a game company. And I remember where she picked me up, and she had a little Geo Metro. And I went down to visit her, you know, and I flew in. And, you know, she picked me up in this tiny little Geo Metro. Now, she's driving a Geo Metro where everybody owns a pickup truck.
Yep.
Okay? So the Metro is like putting a smart car next to a Peterbilt.
Yep.
All right? And we leave the airport in Austin, and she's like, just, you know, she goes, you know, scooch down so I can look out the window so I can see traffic. I'm like, okay, great. And the on-ramp was this on-ramp that the highway's elevated. So she comes out this street, goes up this on-ramp, and just goes zipping into traffic with this tiny little car that can get crushed with, you know, a Volkswagen would crush the dark Metro.
Geo Metros are made out of soda cans.
And the funny thing is, it's like she's just like da 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 da, zip, and right in between two cars, and the ramp just comes up, and there is no speed up lane once you're at the same elevation with the highway. You speed up on the ramp, and then the ramp kind of disappears, and it just completely scared the shit out of me.
Well, unlike some of your northeastern states, people that drive in Texas will actually make room for you to merge.
Oh, will they?
Yeah.
They're polite?
Yeah.
I'll be a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Funny thing about everyone carrying guns.
And I'll tell you another thing, and right before, I mean, we got to hang up. We got to quit this thing here soon, but I'll tell you another thing that shocks people when they come down here is in the South, if somebody's honking, they're from the North.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people in the South don't honk. Not unless there's some, you know, egregious emergency that requires honking.
People in the extreme North don't honk. That was the hardest skill for me to learn moving down to Massachusetts, was to use my horn.
Yeah, you have to in Mass.
Oh God, you have to in Mass. You absolutely have to in Mass.
Crazy.
That's why I had to do it, because it was hard. Because I mean, yeah, you honk at somebody in Maine, and it looks like you shot their kid. Just, you feel bad about it. I mean, it's just one of those, you know, you what the fuck you doing, asshole? Bam, bam. And they're like, what did I do?
Well, right. That's it. Thanks for helping out with us tonight, Dennis.
The pleasure's all mine. Thank you for having me. I'm honored.
Oh, well, don't be too
honored. All right. Everyone, Dennis has got some guns.
Yeah.
You've got until 5 o'clock tomorrow morning to make sure that's not there anymore. Yeah. Buy all of his guns. Don't worry, he'll have new ones. Or no, he probably won't, because he's the last person on the planet to have handguns on stock.
He might be. Get that nice Blackhawk from him, because I've got a Blackhawk. I think mine's got an 8.25-inch barrel on it. I love that thing. I mean, I don't shoot it as much.
This is a 5.5.
Yeah.
But it...
They're nice. And you can go, if you get a Blackhawk, you can go buy the Buffalo Bore reloads that are marked, you know, for Blackhawk only.
Oh, cool. All righty.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Bye.
All right. Good night, Internet.
Good night. Bye.